Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Nothing says I love you like a big brand fragrance from Chemist Warehouse this Valentine's Day.
Hello, welcome to the catch-up. It is Monday. Make sure you subscribe. You'll get the catch-up easier, blah, 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 blah. If you see Marto on the roads today, it's not Prince Philip. It is Marto. You're going to be going 20Ks.
I have a car that I'm going to retrieve. It doesn't go out of first gear, but that's what your hazards are all for, correct?
No, they're not.
Correct?
No.
Apart from that copper who rang up. Smart-ass bloody
was not correct.
Let's hear from him.
If we get another smart-ass cop ringing and telling us what they think the rules are.
Here he goes again talking about the law stuff.
The legality.
The pesky law.
How do they know? Police academy, hey?
And thank God for me, at least I bring you up to date with the good, the bad and the ugly from Married at First Sight. Oh, come on, you're interested. Don't pretend you're not.
I am interested. I do love the updates each morning. I'll never watch the show because I know I get the updates and the best clips in here.
Some of their eyes are too close together. It's already proven their parents shouldn't have bred, therefore they shouldn't be breeding.
Of course, that's proven.
And we got a very emotional story too from up north from a livestock agent. He's been ravaged by the floods. He got pretty upset. We got pretty upset. You'll get pretty upset. It is in the catch up. Please enjoy.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Of course, Nick, tonight you're performing at the Ale House at the 4X Brewery as part of Tenor for Townsville, where we're focusing on raising money for the people of Townsville. But right now the problems seem to be more out west, especially out west of Mount Isa, where these terrible, terrible floods are creating a shocking time for livestock. And a bloke who knows all about it is Peter Dowling, who's from Cloncurry, west of Mount Isa. He's a livestock agent and he joins us now. Hi, Pete.
Morning.
Righto. What do we got, mate? You understand, because you must supply and to a lot of the different graziers out there. What's the situation?
It's hard to explain to people, mate, because it's probably the biggest catastrophe in the cattle industry Australia's ever seen.
Wow.
That Gulf area that we're talking about statistically runs probably close to 2 million cattle. Talking to all my clients and other people up there at the moment, obviously you can still only get around in a helicopter because the water's still there. But, we could be looking at 80% losses, some less, some more. But 80% seems to be a general opinion just at this stage.
Is that 80% off 2 million? Or?
Mate, you know, there is areas on the western and eastern side of the actual Gulf region that haven't been probably affected as bad. The badly affected areas are, you know, if you're looking at a map, Winton to the south of us, come up to Huonton and across to Richmond, Julia Creek, Cloncurry, and the river system that's doing all the damage starts at Huonton and it runs out through into the Gulf north of Julia Creek. And whilst it's the floodwater that's causing all the death in the lower Gulf at the moment, it was the weather event that caused all the trouble. Well, the situation is that we went from seven years of drought, and we just had 43 days in a row over 40 degrees.
Oh, geez.
So you can imagine what the condition of the stock and the condition of the people was. Then we got the rain, which was fantastic. Then after about on the sixth and seventh night, we got two big rainfall events in the night. We also got 50 to 70 k/h winds. It was as cold as anything, and that's what's done all the damage to the stock locally. And then, of course, as I said, now it's the water doing all the damage down in the lower Gulf.
Pete, you just sound so broken. I mean, is that the reality of the farmers out there that you're dealing with?
Yeah, well, farmers and graziers all over Australia are pretty resilient bunch. They got it, you know, whether it be in Victoria or Adelaide. And here's the ironic part about it. This is the killer about this whole situation. You go 500k south of us, they're still in drought.
Yeah.
They're still feeding their stock.
Mate, down at St George, down the bottom end of Queensland out west, they're almost Gonski out down there because they've got a drought.
Talking to a friend down there yesterday at St George, mate. He just paid $750 a tonne for cotton seed to keep his cows alive.
Yep. Well, listen, Pete, you're dealing with these. You're supplying these guys with gear, etc. They don't sound like they, when they get out of it, the water recedes. They've got no cattle. They've got no income.
I know it's hard to draw a picture for people in the city, mate. And if you think about the Brisbane floods, you know, think about someone who went through the flood, lost their house, lost everything in it, lost their car. Then they turn up at work on Monday and the boss says, look, happy for you to turn up at work, but I can't pay for the next 2 years.
Mm.
That's what this is about,
mate. 2 years?
They're, their whole income, because all their sale cattle for this year and next year are gone, all the calves that would have been their sale cattle 3 years' time are dead. This is 3 years of no income that these people are looking at.
Pete, some of them were paying for food anyway, weren't they? I said to these guys, they could have been paying 10 grand a week borrowing from the bank to actually feed these cattle, and now they're dead.
More than that, mate.
More than that.
The only thing you've got to keep yourself alive in that country is your livestock. That's your cash flow. So when you throw everything at that in the last 6 or 7 years, and everyone was back, everyone in that country was back to bare minimums, because we, you know, obviously the grass situation wouldn't allow us to have any more. And you get back to a bare minimum like that, and then you lose that. And, mate, you know, people in the bush fight back, but, oh, geez, you know, when you got debt and that sort of stuff.
Pete, is there anything we can do? Like, we've raised a bit of money for Townsville. We're trying to do anything there. Is there anything city people can do for local areas?
There was an event we had been planning for the 6th of April up in Cloncurry. Before this happened, it was going to be a women's weekend organised by a few of the women in town that was going to basically be structured along the lines of resilience against adversity for mental health for the women, because obviously behind every good man's a stronger woman, and in the bush that is just so true. And quite often the women get forgotten in this. So we were organising a weekend on the 6th of April, and so now what we've done with that is we turned it into a charity event. We've got a GoFundMe page up and running called Sisters of the North.
Yep.
We've got Sarah Storer, whose husband's worked in our area and been in the pastoral industry. She's throwing in. She's getting friends of hers up there. We've got Libby Trickett coming up. She was coming up anyway as our guest speaker. Dobbo, of course, she's going to come up and MC it.
Mate, this sounds unreal. People love to cling to something, no way to help you guys, mate, because everyone's driving in their cars right now, having a nice sunny day, going, geez, we want to help you blokes.
Yeah, and I know it's hard to put the picture out there, mate.
No.
It's...
We'll give it a further plug after today too. Sisters of the North on 6th of April, mate. We can't help you physically, but we will help you mentally and also spiritually, mate.
Good on you. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, so today's catch-up of the first commitment ceremony of Married at First Sight has been renamed The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. Let's start with the good.
Let's just start with what a commitment ceremony is.
Okay,
haven't they just been married and had a honeymoon?
Yeah, so now they get a chance to come back together in front of the experts and decide whether they want to stay in the social experiment or whether they want to leave. And the rule of Married at First Sight is that if one wants to stay and one wants to leave, they have to stay.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No, no.
Yeah. Compromise.
And that does...
That really is the
That will come up as I go through the good, the bad and the ugly.
Because
but let's start with the good.
Most of them just want to be on telly, don't they?
Kind of.
Yeah.
The good is the lovely Jules and her cricketing beau, Cam.
I like them.
Yeah.
The redhead one?
Yep, absolutely. They're so enamoured with each other. In fact, I think you could say they're in love.
From the moment we met, really grateful for you guys matching me with this wonderful man. Thank you. Like, it gives me so much faith in what you guys do. I feel, obviously, he was handpicked, but I feel like he was tailor-made, made for me.
Aww. Is the professional cricketer with no work over summer?
That's pretty much. One. That's yep. him.
I didn't hear him say anything.
No, well, he did, but we were running out of time. She was more
so
she was
me
more
too.
Verbose with
he
her.
Said, yeah, me too.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you check out Women's Day, which is out today, you will see that they've been shopping in Noosa for an engagement ring.
Well, thank you for telling us, because no one was going to do that.
Whoa.
Has.
I must jump in now. Spoiler alert.
Has.
You can't just
buy a ring at Noosa? Do you know how much eggs cost, let alone a ring?
Let's go to the bad. The bad involves Sam and Elizabeth. Now, Sam is the guy that took off straight after the wedding to go to the ex-girlfriend's mother's funeral in New Zealand, right?
One-way flight.
Okay. Elizabeth has not been happy about it, but when they came into
She's
the commitment ceremony...
She's got the hair extensions, just so everyone is playing along.
Hair extensions, and wears those cat-eyed makeup, and look, actually looks really pretty when
is
she's
that the
got
one you think
on
looks
her
like
face.
A bird?
She does have
bird
a bird-like...
Bird head.
Yeah, she can do. Anyway, she decided that she wanted to stay because she doesn't feel that she's got to know Sam, even though he hurt her so badly. Now, keep in mind, when these decisions are made, it's in front of all of the couples. And Mike, the balding guy, who's very cocky, started to have a bit of a chat about it when Elizabeth said she wanted to stay.
If I was to go forward with this, Elizabeth, seriously.
Why would she stay? Why are you staying? You haven't said one good thing about him and you want to stay.
I feel really hurt.
So you're just going to punish him for a week? Is that your plan, just to punish poor Sam for a week?
No, I wanted to get to know him, where he was coming from. I didn't get the honeymoon, guys. That's what you've got to understand. I didn't have a honeymoon. Yeah.
I've known him for less amount of time than that, all right?
So you've decided to stay, which is great.
Yes, I just wanted to get to know him more. I was like, I want to give it a go. I want to see what he's actually like, all right?
Okay, so let me just say that when that happened, it went straight down gender lines. All the women, or most of the women, were supporting Elizabeth, and most of the guys.
She didn't get a honeymoon.
Her.
You heard her.
Yeah,
that's what she's doing.
She's still not going to get one. Anyway, let's go to the ugly. If you've been watching Channel 9 at all over the last weekend, you would have seen all of these promos. Basically, it's Innes and Bronson. Innes is the Queensland law clerk, I think she is.
That's really her name.
Yeah, okay. And Bronson is the ex-stripper. I think he's from WA.
Oh, what a pair.
Okay, it got so bad, what we were about to see, in the ad break before we came back to Married at First Sight, they said this.
The following segment contains adult themes and concepts. Parental guidance is recommended.
Oh, what time were we?
Oh, it was coming after 9.
No, kids can't go to bed after that.
No,
are they?
It was really, really intense. Wow. Like, it was full on. And let's
they show
just
a video from their honeymoon?
No. It just was super nasty. Have a listen.
She's like Jekyll and Hyde. I never know what she's going
to
be.
Like, what Bronson says to me, like, I really don't care. I mean, if anyone here, like, wants to give me their husband, give it to me. Like, I'm all about getting a divorce and finding a new husband.
Well, so first thing she said when she saw me walking the aisle was, take that eyebrow ring.
Who the has an eyebrow ring?
Bronson. Me.
I don't want him touching me.
It was. Wow. It just was so toxic.
You know what? I'm actually on her side. Who does really? Have an eyebrow ring? Get out.
Does he wear Velcro clothes still?
No.
Like, can he just remove it at any stage?
He doesn't. Anyway,
that would have been the chance.
He then swore at her, which is really not cool. And there is. Oh. I mean, I can play it for you, but you can't make it out, and we really don't want to. But they've left us hanging with tonight.
Oh.
Apparently, Innes goes after Sam.
Oh.
So hold on. Hold on. Are you telling me, I have not seen an episode, but are you telling me, Robin Bailey, that the ex-stripper from Perth with the eyebrow ring named Bronson isn't a good bloke?
I know.
That's what you
must see TV. This is changing my perceptions.
A big breakfast on Triple M.
Right, I have a situation. I've got Kath's car. Kath has a Suzuki Jimny, and we went over to Moreton Island on the weekend, her and I.
The cutest little four-wheel drivey thing.
Little Tonka truck.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Coming back down the beach, if anyone knows Moreton, you go drive along the beach and then you hop on a big boat called the Mycat and you come back to Brisbane, okay? Mm-hmm. All good.
Yep.
Coming along the beach with 10Ks to go before we got to the barge yesterday morning, couldn't get the car out of first gear.
What do you mean? What happened to it?
I don't understand. I just fished a shock absorber. That was a big effort for me. And then I couldn't get into second or third or couldn't get into anything.
Okay.
So we went, right, we will just sit in first gear, and we drove 11 kilometres in first gear along the beach, doing about 15Ks an hour.
Which you can do on the beach. There is no traffic. You're fine.
I know. And we did.
Do you think that had anything to do with you fixing the car earlier that day?
No. Shock
you, the absorber, untrained mechanic?
Shock absorber was at the back, and I found it. And then all the drivetrain, everything was at the front that was the problem.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, so we got it onto the barge. And then we got it to Brisbane, a Fisherman's Island. Cass said, I'm not driving that home.
Right, fair enough.
So I actually had my car at the barge place as well, so we drove mine home and it's still there. I am this morning, as soon as we get out of here, I am riding my push bike to Fisherman's Island, which is about, between my house and Fisherman's Island, is about 24, 25Ks.
Well done, you.
Down near the mouth of the Brisbane River. And I'm planning on driving that car slowly home with my hazard lights on. I've got to go over the gateway.
You
through
can't
a tunnel,
do that.
Through the
you cannot.
Oh, that's better than what I thought. He was going to try and tow the car on his pushy. I go, I know you're an ex-wallaby, mate. The leg strength.
You used to be able to tow. If your mate broke down, you used to be able to tow it. I'm pretty aware that doesn't occur anymore because it was dangerous. But I want to know, if you're driving slowly with your hazards on, why can't I just...
Can I just check?
I'll go 20 an hour.
Okay, if these people say no, are you going to adhere to that?
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Okay, Brendan of Brookfield, what do you reckon? Is Marto allowed to drive his car with hazard lights at 20Ks?
Of course he is. I was in the same situation. I finished work chefing, and it's the middle of the night. I've got to start work in the morning, and I'm driving along, and my radiator blew out. Next thing, I'm sitting on full heat. So I'm going the Gateway Motorway, going out to Brookfield. I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I put the hazard lights on, and I sit on, like, 30Ks in 110K left lane. I'm just cruising along. A few people flash their lights. A couple went round. A couple honked their horn. I've got to get home. You do what you got to do.
Thank you.
Do what you got to do, man.
You're
thank
doing,
you.
You're doing 20k an hour. Did you overtake any old people on the way home?
No.
Now, hazard lights, they do everything. If you park your car and you have hazard lights on the bonnet, you can park anywhere.
Oh,
hazard lights are the best thing. They just say, keep an eye out for this. This rooster's got a bit of trouble in his life or something's wrong. And that's what they're for.
Okay, so now we're going to actually have someone who knows. We're going to call him Percy the Policeman. Because he's not going to tell us his real name. Hello, sir.
Oh, okay.
This is Percy speaking. How are you?
All right. Okay. Now, I didn't realise I was going to get an official one. I just wanted a few rogues ringing.
Bloody old Sergeant Stevie ringing in.
Now, all right, Percy, what is the ruling?
Mate, pretty sure, going through my experience, you cannot do that. 20Ks with your hazards on, and considering how bad your car's performing, is probably going to be deemed defective.
So that's the law he's breaking.
Not to mention, if depending on what road surface he's driving on, if the speed limit is 80Ks or more, and he's doing well and truly, and I think it's by at least 30Ks, there is also an offence for that too.
All right, I'm going to think like a Queenslander here. What's the fine? Like, is it cheaper than me getting a tow truck?
To be honest, mate, no, not really. 361 for the life endangering offence on the highway, and then you've got $200-something plus 2 points on the defence as well.
But also, sir, that's if he gets caught. There's no way he's getting caught.
This is very true.
Hold on.
Not going to outrun anyone.
He's given a location and a timeline, so there's a very good chance he will get caught.
Oh, God, we need a sympathetic towie. He's going to help you out, Marto.
I'll be taking selfies. Don't worry while I do it.
The Big Breakfast.
Anything is possible.
With Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
UFC 234 yesterday down in Melbourne. I flew back home for the weekend to go and watch these fights. The main fight was Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum.
It was supposed to be.
Robert Whittaker is Australian.
Well, he's New Zealand born, but we've claimed him.
Yeah.
But now that he pulled out of the fight, Kiwi again. That's what happens.
Right,
if you're going to pull out last minute, you go back.
Just explain. The main reason they had it in Melbourne was because we've got a world champion. He's our only ever UFC world champion. It sold out within 8 minutes, maybe in November. So many people got a ticket for their Christmas present and stuff like that.
So flew down to see it. Who was the guy he was playing? Where was he from?
Kelvin Gastelum from the States.
Oh, okay.
Mexican background from the States.
It's a serious fading.
And the other one, Israel Adesanya, who's a New Zealander. Yep, from Nigerian background, I think, was fighting a guy, Anderson Silva, who's widely regarded as the greatest of all time. So when that main fight dropped off because of the injury, that fight went up, and that was awesome to see Anderson Silva live. As a UFC fan, it's one of the coolest things you can...
I get up yesterday morning and hear about Robert Whittaker being having the hernia operation.
Yep. And a twisted bowel.
And did they offer everyone a refund?
A point
of
sale.
Did you think about that?
But I grew up
all the way down
to Melbourne. I grew up in the western suburbs of Melbourne. I grew up in like the Logan of Melbourne, right?
Yes.
My mates were at a pub, 9:30 in the morning, and one mate goes, maybe we scan in and then try and send them an email for a refund. Just my Westie mates, trying to figure out a scam.
We can
watch the fights and we can get our money back, right? I think the two favourite things I saw there was one at the bar at Rod Laver Arena. It's built for tennis. They were offering Shiraz. And
Did anyone buy it?
I think they would have been pretty safe with one bottle of Shiraz for 15,000 people. I don't think it got opened yesterday. But the roughest part of the day, hands down, is that there was 15 or 20,000, however many they get in Rod Laver. And the lines for the toilets are huge.
Oh, I bet.
So all blokes. The urinals there, the problem that I had is that obviously Rod Laver is a tennis arena. So the tradies that have built these bathrooms and the architects that designed them designed the urinal spacing. They were individual urinals.
Oh, individual bowl urinals.
Yeah, individual bowl urinals.
Not a trough.
But they've designed them around the shoulders of male tennis fans.
Mm. Oh, that's funny.
And not actual men. Small. You know what I mean? So when the actual bloke, it was like human Tetris, just guys squeezing in.
So you had to touch someone while you were weeing.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, that's... No.
So you don't often see that at sporting stadiums, individual thing. Usually it's just a big long trough and everyone just gets in there.
That's because you go to the rugby and this place is for tennis. Yeah, that's true. Normally it's a hole in the ground. Do it in here, you pigs.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
You know that I do a book club every week with my girlfriends where we pretty much go to the KT and never talk about books ever again.
Oh.
So I have a group of about eight really good mates and we catch up a lot of the time. We do girls' weekends. We do a book club at the KT.
You're missing the inverted commas.
Yeah, you but you should tell Nick,
the KT, Kenmore Tavern, some of my scaliest mates drink there. Somehow Robin finds herself.
They are completely reptilious.
We also go to Suburban Social, which is also in Kenmore.
Oh, right. Oh, you don't go to the public bar at the KT.
No, we don't. Right. No, we don't. And no, my cohort are a really tight group of girlfriends. Yes. And we chat amongst ourselves, and to keep us entertained during the week, we'll often send out text messages with things going on in our lives, and then the other girls give a ruling.
Yep.
So I've got one overnight, and I've changed the name to protect the innocent. So I'm going to call my friend Sophie, but this is what she wrote on text.
It's really,
okay?
Sophia.
Well, and she says not. And she sent it to all of us, and there's like 10 in the group. Okay, she said, "Girls, can you give me a ruling on this? I've had what I thought was a friend do something weird. So we were friends, got on really well, hung out on sidelines during our kids' sports for years, but was never inappropriate. So are you getting from this that it's a bloke?"
Yeah.
Okay. "We talked openly about his wife and family life. I was divorced, as you guys know, and had a boyfriend at the time.
Oh, dear.
But then last night, which is 3 years down the track, I got an inappropriate text. I'm pretty sure he was, well, she said the word, drunk.
Yeah.
She didn't say that. But I'm talking sexting here, and he knows I'm with someone. My question is, was it a friend and it changed gears years later? Or was something else under the surface and I didn't see it? I'm questioning if men and women can actually really be friends. As a chick, I think we can, but maybe blokes see it differently."
Under the surface? I assume the surface was his pants. And then...
Interesting question, because she's clearly I don't know what she said in the sexting and I haven't replied.
Sexting means pick, does it?
Is he still with his wife?
I presume so.
Oh dear.
I don't know. Actually, that I don't know. I haven't replied, but I think the question about men and women being friends.
Oh, you want the last bit answered.
Well, do you think they can?
Be mates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Okay, Marto.
In my case, I'm not. The only girls I'd be friends with are any of the girls I know here at work.
You don't have a female friend?
Well, you know, all my girlfriends died.
No, okay, that's girlfriends. I'm just talking about friends.
No, curse of the Marto.
I don't. I'm a bloke. I all my friends are blokes unless they're the wife of one of my mates.
But can't you have a female friend?
Unless they're Kath's mates.
No. You're proving my theory. You can't.
No, I don't.
Nick can.
Well, just as a stand-up comic, a lot of people I gig with are chicks. And
are they independent friends? Your wife doesn't know them. You have a separate friendship with them. There is never anything inappropriate.
Not inappropriate. Because
that's work.
Okay.
I've got people that work for Fox Sports who are my friends, but that's work.
Okay, outside of work?
No, I wouldn't be seen with anyone. Oh, because I'm married. That's why you get married.
Can't you be a friend with someone? You don't have to have a relationship with them.
It's always sus, Robin, as you've just proved with your text message.
This is my question.
We talked with our kids' sport. How many affairs are going on within little kids' sport? Because some bloke gets toe-y and takes it too far, like your mate. And that's why I've banned myself from taking anything too far with any females, because you only get in trouble.
So you won't allow yourself to have a friendship with a woman?
Couldn't be bothered.
Oh.
I got the no vacancy sign up in terms of that. I've got enough mates. I don't need any more. You'll just get yourself into trouble.
Okay.
I watched that Married at First Sight. They're all horny ass.
And also, what woman would like to join Marta today? You want to ride bikes out together to go get my car that's broken? You know?
I am going to defend that there are some blokes that can have chicks as friends.
There's a bank that men have in their brains, and she was in there. Okay.
Right.
Everyone agree? Anyone?
Yeah. Michelle of Bribie Island, what do you reckon?
Well, blokes can be friends with chicks. Like I said, my best girlfriend is a bloke. He was the only guy invited to my hen's night. We've been best buddies for 12, 15 years. We have pet names for each other.
Okay. What does his wife think?
He's not married.
Oh, isn't he?
Oh.
Okay.
No, I've got lots of guy friends. I'm a very much a bloke stick. Cousins. I don't get along well with women because I don't do the dress-up stuff. I'm not into the girly stuff. I'm married. My husband knows I've got lots of male friends and never, ever had a problem in that point.
You're one of the great rarities, Michelle.
What?
I like riding motorbikes. I like doing bloke stuff. So yeah. I just get along with guys better than chicks, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so she's the exception in your rule. Is that right, Greg Martin?
No, it's not my rule. I'm just telling you.
Thanks, Michelle.
I don't have any females who are girlfriends apart from my wife's friends. Like, they're my friends, I suppose.
Okay,
they're
well.
Her friend first.
Stuart F. Deegan, you're with Mardo.
Morning.
Yeah. Morning. What do you reckon?
Oh, look, I'm sure it's possible, but realistically, at the end of the day, most blokes, like Mardo said, have got the vault. You know, we're looking at women for a specific reason and we'll be friends
well
with
put,
them on the edge. On the hope that we are going to get somewhere further down the line.
Okay, hang on. Let me just check that right. So in this scenario, this bloke is married with kids and he's watching his kid play sport. Mm. Are you telling me that in the back of his mind,
he looked over or wore a low crop top?
Absolutely.
Would your friend wear low?
Really?
You know, I mean, I do have a girlfriend, but she's 2,000 kilometres away in Melbourne. So, I mean, we talk by phone and, you know, I just can't see how a bloke can sit there, a good-looking woman, any kind of woman, and not have this thought in the back of their mind.
So you would potentially stalk all these women that you see in your little box in your brain and then what, at some point go
There's
find
a word
them?
For it, isn't it? Something.
Well, look, I don't know about some point go find them, but certainly, you know, give them their rating and hopefully be hopeful.
Yeah. Okay. I'm disappointed.
Tank bank.
That's it.
Tank
bank. So she's in the tank bank.
Okay. Yeah. The big breakfast.
What you call it?
I'm
going to shoot some stuff.
Glad we found it.
Stop it!
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Sunday night news is always full of a few disasters here, there and everywhere, and there's often some good eyewitnesses. I just want to play this young lass. There was an incident out on the north side. I think Claire mentioned it during the news, but she was the eyewitness, and the car drove away fast, okay?
Right.
All right, so she wants to tell you that, and this is how she explained it to the camera.
I heard a car scream its tyres and going a million miles an hour, and I seen the car go like the clappers.
Like the clappers.
She's so wanting to swear.
All right, let's just
She's
check
seen
that.
The car.
I'm glad you picked that up because I went, was she going to say the
F
word?
Yeah, I thought she was too.
And Kath said, I don't even know what does like the clappers mean? I said, apparently, oh, I did know this, the bells, you know, when they ring bells, the things inside are called clappers. And when they ring them hard, they go very fast. And did she try to say fast or another F word? Let's just check.
Go. Like the clappers.
Yeah.
You know, clappers with an F.
Yeah. Here's the sort of news you need at 5 to 6 on a Monday morning. Woo! A British firm is developing a rival to Viagra.
Oh, that a takes British a, firm indeed.
A very firm that takes effect in just 5 minutes but may last for only half an hour. I'm no expert on Viagra. Can I just check? So this new one takes 5 minutes. So how long does Viagra... I've already asked you to look it up. You haven't told me the results yet. Have
Would
you got
you like,
it?
Yeah, I do.
Half an hour.
Okay, the fact that
it,
you
it
don't
only lasts
know,
half an hour.
The fact you don't know is actually quite telling. Anyway, it takes 30 minutes normally.
You take one and then you're ready to go.
Yeah, 30 minutes later.
30 minutes.
And can last up, but they say normally between 4 and 5 hours. That doesn't mean that you are ready to go at all times in that time. You just will find it easier.
For 4 or 5 hours.
How am I going getting through this?
That's really good.
My neighbour reckoned he lasted 39 hours on one. I won't put in who he is, but
39 hours.
He knows who he is.
On one?
Well, that's what he said.
Oh, come on. Oh, is that like I went fishing and the fish was this big?
Perhaps. He wasn't mentioning size. He was just length of time.
Uh-huh. Same deal.
Hold on. So what have we got here? Future trialling a cream called Eroxon. So it only lasts...
Of course it's called that.
Yeah.
I didn't
that's
read
the chemical
read
compound name.
Wow. In a study of 230 men with erectile dysfunction, volunteers, oh, I suppose you wouldn't be paid, reported significant improvements using Eroxon.
30 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how long
15 routes.
No, but
that's pretty good value.
Oh dear. From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or
even up the coast, it's Triple M. Bogan's going on news. Oh, for a little bit of international Bogan news this week, guys. We all know if Bogans are going anywhere, it's one of two places.
Bali.
Bali, he's got us. Oh,
thank you.
Bali or what's the other one?
Oh, what's the other one?
Thailand. Bali or Thailand. Okay, it's the only place they can go.
Thank you.
A Sydney man has been arrested and locked up in Bali, accused of stealing a $1,250 Gucci bag from a Cuda duty-free shop. Mm. Although upon saying to the cops, was it worth $1,250, the owner said, I'll give you a better price next time, my friend. unlike Melbourne woman, though, Catherine Hogg, who earlier this week was arrested from stealing from an upmarket boutique, she was released after reaching a peace agreement with the shop. Now, I don't know about
what?
You, but...
What does that mean?
I assume an Indonesian peace agreement is, next time we'll shoot you. And she left, so... For poor Bilal, though, that's his name, Bilal from Sydney. I feel bad for him because he's stuck in a Balinese prison with the worst reason for being in a prison. You know, it's like he'd be asking the other guy, what'd you do, mate? Oh, I smuggled drugs in me bum. Oh, yeah, what about you, champ? Oh, I'm the head of a religious terrorist cell. And it's like, oh, what about you, Aussie? I just wanted a man bag.
Oh,
not the best reason to be in a Bali jail.
It's the Big Breakfast, Triple M. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.